Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Good evening. You are tuned in to Tando Radio Show right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. Today's date is April the 5th, 2018. It is a Thursday afternoon as we get ready to broadcast this program for you. Dave is not with us today as he's taking some time off to take care of some things that he needs to take care of. So I will be sitting in today. And who am I? I am Scotty Reed, your station manager of this station, Black Talk Radio. Today we will basically just go over the current events, some of the news headlines of the day. Of course, if you have any commentary that you would like to share, any questions that you would like to ask, you can give us a call at 704-802-5056. That's 704-802-5056. You can also join us at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network, where we have, not only can you call in with your computer or with your phone, you can also chat with other people in the chat room that we have there. So again, as I stated, Dave is taking the rest of the week off. He'll be back on Monday, but I'll be sitting in for you today. Possibly tomorrow, we may have the host of Foundational Radio Network sitting in. That's Brother Ross and Brother Jenna. But we will find out later if they'll be able to host tomorrow. If not, then I'll host again. All right, so let's get into some of the news of the day. Real quickly, I'm going to I'm forgetting to do the intro, right? So, listen, BTRCommunity.com is a social media platform that was set up for the listeners of the Black Talk Radio Network, for our friends, for our families, for our neighbors, for whoever wants to join to exchange information in a secure environment where your information isn't being data mined to sell to advertisers or to sell to some of these companies that's doing political campaigns. None of that is going on. As I stated yesterday, the reason they want your real name and birth date and all of that is so that they can present that information to advertisers and have a true count of their members and to say that those accounts represent real people. That's why Facebook does what it does, as far as I can tell. Also, I believe, as others, I don't have any evidence that I can show you, but it is a belief, so I always try to separate facts from beliefs. But I do have a belief that the intelligence agencies of the United States use it as a spying apparatus, and that's possibly the reason they want your real name. Because I remember joining Facebook when it first launched. They weren't asking you for your real name or asking you to upload a real photograph and things of that nature. I mean, they just really go all out. So again, that could be because of the advertisement revenue that real memberships can bring in, and certainly Facebook has built a $1 billion business model. But also, again, I think it's helpful to the intelligence agencies, whether we're talking about the CIA, the FBI, your local police, your state police. It's helpful if they are able to have your real name and track your location, because a lot of people don't turn off their location notifications that come on when they're especially using the cell phone. It'll tell you where that person is posting from using GPS tracking. None of that is going on at btrcommunity.com. Any of our current members can tell you none of that type of stuff is going on. They don't have to use their real names. They can use whatever they want to use as a profile picture. None of that is going on. So I feel confident in saying that it is a safer environment, because nothing is totally 100% secure. You have a lot of talented hackers out there. But if they hack into BTR, all they're going to get is email addresses. They're not going to get people's real names and ages and all that type of stuff, because we don't ask for that type of stuff. So if you're looking for a safer, a more secure social networking platform, join us at btrcommunity.com. There was an article that came out today about somebody was speculating on whether or not Facebook should secure its information by changing its business model. And I was talking about this yesterday. Instead of making it an advertiser-based business model where, you know, you need advertisers to bring in revenue, that perhaps Facebook should start charging people for that more secure environment. And I thought that was interesting that article came out today after I discussed it yesterday. So that is pretty much the model. And we are a nonprofit, but a nonprofit also runs as a business. Because these things cost resources. We're not getting them for free, and so we had to pay for them. So the model we came up with, after members donated, you know, supporters of the Black Talk Media Project donated in order for us to purchase the software we needed in order to create this social media platform. It was free for a while. People weren't taking advantage of it. But now we charge $24 a year. There is a 30-day free trial period, so you can get in there and see, you know, if it's something that's for you. If it's not, you can just simply cancel your membership before it charges you. And, you know, you could just move back over to where you were before you came. So, you know, definitely we want to improve the platform, but in order for us to improve that platform, then we need more than just donations. You know, we need people to pay that very small amount in order so we can build up that platform. All right. If you are interested in precious metals, y'all know Dave talks about precious metals through prosperitymint.com, but he always tells people to contact him first before they make any purchases that they see on the website. So you can contact Dave via email at wolf6pack1, that's wolf6pack1 @yahoo.com. All right, so contact Dave. You could get at him as well as on btrcommunity.com, and he will give you all the information that you need in acquiring those precious metals like gold and silver. All right, so let me just quickly just share the headlines before we delve into the actual articles themselves. We may not have time because time flies by fast, man, especially, you know, when you're talking. Before you know it, an hour has gone by. So I'm going to quickly share some of the headlines that caught my eye today. And we will delve into more deeply time allotting of these articles. All right. So the New York Daily News published an article, South Korean Institute denies that it is making killer robots amid a boycott. Next headline. And you may have heard about this, especially in the black community. I know Tag called in last night to New Abolitionist Radio to tell us about another black man getting murdered by Brooklyn police, or NYPD police, I should say. So New York Times is reporting that police shoot and kill a man in Brooklyn, and we'll get into the details later. Russia shot claim. This is coming to you from express.co.uk. I wouldn't call it a shot claim. I would call it a logical claim. But Russia is saying that 17 countries were pressured by the United States and the United Kingdom to stand against Putin, you know, making it about an individual. So I'll get into that. I think I may have stated yesterday that you have the people who have been conducting a test on this alleged, and I say alleged because I don't know. They could be telling us anything. But this alleged nerve agent, military nerve agent, that was allegedly used in a sophisticated manner by spraying it on a doorknob. I'm like, that's really, yeah, really, that's sophisticated, by spraying some chemicals on a doorknob. But you have Russia saying that 17 countries were pressured by the USA and the UK to stand against Russia, calling for this particular agency to have a joint investigation, and they had a vote on it. And as I stated, the other article, this one is from NPR.org, UK lab says it doesn't know where the nerve agent's precise source came from. They don't know, they're saying. So again, you've heard all these politicians say, Russia did this, Putin is behind it, and this was an assassination attempt on a worthless retired spy, you know. And we've seen the United States kicking out diplomats from Russia out the country, the same in the UK, the same in a few other countries, and Russia responding in like. And this is all very dangerous. This is very dangerous escalation with another nuclear-powered country. When I say nuclear power, I mean have nuclear weapons. So we'll share some of the details of that. Then I have a couple of articles that I, well, not articles, but a couple of videos I came across. And, you know, fake news has been talked about a lot by the mainstream media, especially since they're bitter over Hillary Clinton losing to Donald Trump, which anybody should have been able to see that coming. I mean, all the polling showed that it was possible that she would lose to Donald Trump or any other Republican candidate because of all the political baggage. Like someone posted on Twitter today, they said Hillary Clinton lost the 2016 election in 2008 when she ran against Obama. When she exposed herself, and I would say even before then, for those that paid attention to the Clintons and the propaganda they would engage in, especially in pushing so-called welfare reform, so-called pushing the drug war, which caused the prison population to explode under Clinton more than any preceding president. So we've been hearing a lot about fake news, and fake news is out there. I mean, it's just a fact. A lot of it is coming to you through your TV. And so I came across some articles or videos in my YouTube subscriptions, and I just don't subscribe to any channel. I have to see that they are providing some useful information to me before I subscribe. So I was kind of disappointed that this person, and I'm not going to say their name, you know, if they're listening, then, you know, fine. If they listen later, that's fine. I don't need to call out their name because they're not the only ones who are not doing research and just putting out stuff as if it's a fact without doing research. And so, you know, we got fake news or I guess that's the best term to use, fake news coming at us from many different sources, not just from the corporate media, but the internet is full of pseudoscientists, pseudophilosophers. We got people who have certain beliefs and they'll put out anything to get other people to believe in what they believe in and really don't provide any evidence for those beliefs. So the internet, with it being an open internet, and it should be an open internet, I do believe that people have a right to post fake news if they want to. I mean, that's freedom of speech, right? If a person want to get on here and give you fake news, that's their right. That's their right. You know, I'm not going to say anything about, hey, we should ban them from the internet. You know, that's a form of free speech. I believe the internet should be open. And when we get to banning people, well, that's a slippery slope. Now, you do have to draw the line in some places. And, you know, because certainly I draw the line on what's being put out on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. I have banned people from BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com for anti-blackness. I'm like, you know, why the hell would you join a network called Black Talk Radio Network if you don't like black people referring to themselves as black? You know, so why the hell would you join with us? To antagonize us? No, get the hell out of here. We don't want to hear that shit. So get on. All right. So, but anyway, why do people keep falling for fake news and why do people post fake news? Is it laziness? Is it because they are quick to believe something that may speak to views they already hold, so they just accept it? And as I stated, two recent stories that were posted illustrate how some people outside of the corporate media, I'm not focusing on the corporate media, publish disinformation that has nothing to do with a government source. One of the fake news that was posted today was this YouTube account. And again, I follow this account because they put out some historical videos and stuff, especially pertaining to Malcolm X, why they posted this 2-year-old video as if it was a new video and saying that Haiti had joined the African Union. I can't answer for them. Why would they do that? And then I'm looking at the comments and I'm seeing all these people saying, yeah, and the other Caribbean nations should join too. Yeah, good for Haiti for joining Africa, the African Union. And it's fake news. That any quick search on the internet searching for Haiti and African Union would have exposed it as fake news. So I don't know why the person posted it. I don't know why the people believed it like that. Maybe they trust that source. I don't trust any source. I had to verify everything. I had to fact check. Another one. And yes, we do make mistakes. Let me just put that out there. We do make mistakes, but we should have enough integrity to come back and say, you know, I gave y'all some information. It was incorrect. I apologize. And here's the correct information. We don't want people to be going around with fake information. Well, where did you hear that from? I heard it from Scotty Reed. You know what I'm saying? Credibility, especially as an independent citizen journalist, should mean something to people. You should care about your credibility. So what was another fake story that was posted? Was the March for Our Lives permit application made months before the Parkland shooting? That was a fake story, people, and I'll share the details on why. It could have been an honest mistake in confusing that march with another march of a similar name. But considering the source where that information came from, I think it was purpose. I think the person didn't care whether it was an honest mistake or not. I think the person didn't care because they wanted to bolster their point of view. And I'm like, you know, if I got a point of view, I shouldn't use fake news to support my point of view. I shouldn't lie about things to support my point of view, because then that hurts your credibility when people find out that, hey, that wasn't correct, that information you gave me. So we'll take a look at the details. We'll tell you why that's fake news. All right. So I also thought it would be constructive to share an article from a reporter on how to fact check the internet. But let me say this, though. You can't always trust the fact-checking websites like PolitiFact or Snopes. You have to fact-check the fact-checkers, because I have seen Snopes put out some wrong information, whether it was intentionally or they just didn't do their due diligence and research. I've seen fake news put out by PolitiFact, or let me say it like this. They got the facts wrong, all right? So you should even fact-check the fact checkers is what I'm saying. And so I thought I would share these tips that this reporter shared on how to sniff out the truth or how to research when you come across things. Now, this was posted yesterday, but I didn't get to share it with you on Tando yesterday, but I'm going to share it with you today. Everybody heard about the young woman, and there are some people who are saying it was a transsexual, or was a man dressed as a woman. If it was, I was certainly fooled, but I don't really care. I don't care if it was a transsexual or if it was an actual woman. That's not important to me. But you heard about the person who shot some people. I think it was three people who were wounded, none killed, and then this person killed themselves, this immigrant from Iran. And so I'm going to share information about that, but my thoughts on that is that reveals to me this entitlement mentality that people make demands of platforms that they did not build. Okay. And, you know, I think it was Ross who had posted something. It could have been Ross. It could have been somebody else. And it's another channel that I follow on YouTube where they were on, and they're based on YouTube. That's their home base. But they were saying that YouTube is a white supremacist website and what have you. Well, I'm like, well, if it's a white supremacist website, why are you uploading your content to a white supremacist website? If you got such a problem with YouTube, why are you on YouTube? There are certainly alternatives, and you certainly can either build your own or hire somebody to build your own. Certainly Black Talk Media Project knows how to build those type of platforms, and we'll build them for you. But it just speaks to this entitlement mentality where people think that they have a right to say and do whatever they want on something they did not build. They didn't invest in that in YouTube. They didn't invest in YouTube. They didn't engineer it. They didn't, you know, work behind the scenes to keep it running or any of that. But you think you entitled to do what you want to. That's not a public forum. That's a private platform. Okay, that's a private platform. I've often told the story when Blog Talk Radio in the early days started discriminating against us, and it was one person, and I know who that person's name was. John Sweet. He was one of the managers. This is when Blog Talk Radio first launched. And so he called me at my house and questioning me about my website outside of Blog Talk Radio, because it's red, black, and green, like I'm some kind of black identity extremist. This is before they even came up with the term, and asked me. And then I also had on this guy who I didn't agree with, but I just simply wanted to hear what he had to say and offer counterpoints. They were concerned about an interview I did, and then next thing you know, they going to suspend us for a week. I like, bump that. I go build my own platform, and the rest is history. So, because that's a private company, I use it at their leisure. Did I like being suspended for a week? No, but I wasn't complaining to other people and saying, no, I just went and built my own platform. So, you know, that just really speaks to an entitlement mentality, to where a person suspects that YouTube is blocking some of their videos or demonetizing their videos. So you're going to go shoot up people at YouTube. What kind of entitlement, whack ass mentality is that? They don't owe you a thing. Okay, that's just, I'm just keeping it real. They don't owe you a thing. And I'm certainly going to tell people, no, you just don't get to post whatever you want to Black Talk Radio. We'll, you know, we'll refund your money and you can go find somewhere else to where, you know, you can get with some people that resonate like that. All right. So, you know, this whole stuff about we should be able to do what we want to do or say what we want to say on platforms that we did not build, then no, that's the wrong attitude in my opinion. Other people may disagree, but that's how I feel about it. I can't be a hypocrite about that. I censor people, you know. I don't have a free speech policy on Black Talk Radio Network. There's some things that I'm just not going to tolerate. All right, so now this one also could fall up under fake news. Again, yesterday I was talking about at some length about the distortion and the disinformation about Dr. King's legacy. So you have this celebrity politician. She doesn't hold any office right now. And I think she is on the right side of certain issues, but she was giving a speech yesterday and she was distorting the legacy of Dr. King. And then she wasn't even using grammar correctly. But you had former state senator, I think she was a state senator in Ohio, a Black woman by the name of Nina Turner. Y'all may know that she was one of the campaign supporters and spokespersons. I don't know if she was in an official capacity. I think she was, had been hired by them. But she was out there stumping for Bernie Sanders. So she put out a video, and the video was put out, she gave a speech, and the video was put out by The Real News, and I subscribe to them because they, you know, put out some good information, they put out some real news. But on this one, I was like, wait a minute, the title was MLK was on a mission of nonviolence, even against segregationists and racists. So I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. Nonviolence. What kind of mission is that? That sounds like a tactic to me. You know, like Ron Paul said that resonated with me years and years ago about the war on terror. He's like, you can't have a war on a tactic. How are you going to have a war on terrorism? Terrorism is a tactic. You can't declare war on a tactic. It's a strategy. It's a tactic. So how you declare war on a tactic? And I feel the same way. How you going to have a mission of nonviolence? That was just a tactic that he used. So I'll get into some of that. Then also, we often hear people, you know, and I'm even in the past few years have gotten greater understanding of Dr. King and more insight into who he was. But we've also heard people say that Dr. King said that I fear that we have integrated our people into a burning house. And that's usually all they'll say. They won't share the rest of the paragraph that one sentence belongs to get some context. Like, this man was going to denounce work that he was putting his life on the line for. And then also, I don't even like the term integration because that suggests something new was happening. Black people have always been integrated into the United States. You just weren't given first class citizenship, but you were integrated first as, well, not everyone. So I try to use the correct language. You had some people who were integrated in as free Black colonists. You had others, predominantly Black people, were integrated in as victims of slavery. And even after so-called emancipation and all of that, even though in the United States military, like during World War II or the Korean War, they had segregated units, meaning that, you know, Black people couldn't serve with white people in the same unit. They had separate units, but you were still integrated into the same damn army. You know, let's use some common sense or try to think logically. That's integration. You was integrated into the United States military, and the U.S. government sent you on missions to go fight in wars. How's that not integration? Okay, So he was, I mean, they have always been integrated. What Dr. King and them was fighting for was representation, because they were being taxed. They were fighting for human dignity. You're not going to tax me and then tell me I got to do this or do that and relegate me to a second class citizen status when I'm helping pay for all of this. Okay. And then the Dr. King wasn't even involved with the, what was it, Brown versus the Board of Education. That was one family. And the NAACP got involved with that. And Dr. King was not a member of the NAACP at that time. I don't think he ever was, but I could be incorrect, because I think he was always with the Southern Poverty Leadership Conference. I don't think he was with the NAACP, but that was one man who filed a lawsuit because he lived in a community, much like a community that I live in, surrounded by white people, and he didn't think it was right that his daughter had to be shipped all the way across town on a bus when she could just go to her neighborhood school, since he lived in that community, he paying taxes, helping to pay for that school. That was one man. That was one man. And then Brown, the Supreme Court ruled that separate is not equal. And if you saw some of the conditions of some of those schools in the black community, which were being deprived of their resources, they were paying taxes, but them taxes wasn't coming back. So, you know, I will share an article from The Final Call. It is titled Integrating into a Burning House. He wasn't talking about what most of these people who mentioned that think he was talking about. Maybe perhaps they didn't read the full quote or the whole conversation that he was engaged in with Harry Belafonte. So we'll talk about that. The first one I'll jump into, though, is the Facebook post, the business model, because I mentioned this yesterday. What if we paid for Facebook instead of letting it spy on us for free? Well, paying them doesn't mean that they're not still not going to spy on you. That doesn't, you know, preclude that. Anyway, it says, let's play the prices right. What's a Facebook membership worth? $7 a month, $5 a month, $1 a month? It's a trick question, because Facebook has always been quote unquote free. But what if there was a way you could pay to remove the eerie targeted ads? Stop it from tracking every little thing you do and make your data more secure. Call it Facebook Plus. Anyone peeved about the social network's recent privacy lapses might scoff at the idea of handing Facebook money. There's no indication that Facebook is ever going to charge, and CEO Mark Zuckerberg this week said he's focused on a free service that everyone can use. But this spring's revelations about Cambridge Analytica threats to democracy, which is overblown, and data scraping at a global scale have offered a terrifying wake-up about the devil's bargain at the heart of Facebook. We don't pay for the product because we are the product. And that's true. That's their business model. That's even a business model of terrestrial radio stations, which are dying, which I'll actually be talking a little bit about that in the next newsletter I'll be coming out with over the next several days. We have a Black Talk Radio monthly newsletter, because I predicted, I would say about 8 years ago, that terrestrial radio is a dying business model. It's just too much overhead, and that is why Black Talk Media Project decided to invest in digital radio production instead of terrestrial radio production. We looked at, starting up low power FM radio stations, but when I found out the cost that was involved in just starting it up and the cost that was involved in maintaining it, because you're using up a lot of electricity and that equipment that you need, antennas and the sound boards, and that stuff is not cheap. And I was like, I don't see this lasting. I think digital radio, especially with digital radio being installed into cars now, you know, internet connected automobiles and all these different devices, I was like, nah, terrestrial radio ain't the way to go. But terrestrial radio depends on people tuning in. You're not being charged to listen. I know, you know, you got satellite radio subscriptions that you can get, and it's pretty much ad-free. That's what you're paying for, not to get hit with ads. But terrestrial radio, your local terrestrial radio stations, you hear all these ads because that's the only way they are able to sustain their operation. So this is a very old business model, a advertising revenue-based business model. And that's why it's important to them to track stats and measurables and things of that nature. So, you know, Facebook is just following that model. So, but the article goes on to say, what if we flip that on its head? As Zuckerberg prepares for his date with Congress next week. And let me say something about that. That's dangerous. That's dangerous to independent platforms like you and me. I remember, again, back in 2007 when I started blogging. This is before I got into internet radio. And I had a decent following. It wasn't huge or anything like that. But you had the Democrats talking about forcing bloggers to register as lobbyists if they had 500 or more subscribers. Now, Zuckerberg has said that he's open to more regulation of Facebook. That's dangerous. Or he's saying open to regulation of social media. That's dangerous. Why would you want government regulation? Why? Don't they regulate enough things in our lives? Why would you be opening not just yourself, but everybody else to that? Because I don't want the government regulating BTRcommunity.com. I don't want the government regulating Black Talk Radio. See, digital radio is not regulated by the FCC. Terrestrial radio is. That's another reason why I decided against terrestrial radio. I don't need censorship. I don't need the threat of censorship from the government. Oh, we don't like what you're saying, so we're going to pull your license. Digital radio, you don't need a license. All you need is the know-how. That's all. But it goes on to say, as Zuckerberg prepares for his date with Congress next week, I've been taking a fresh look at a modest proposal shared among techies for years. Maybe we'd be better off paying for Facebook like a subscription than we are paying with our personal data, which, let's be honest, seems free but isn't. Might that restore our trust? You can actually put a dollar figure on how much we're worth to the social network. Facebook collected $82 in advertising for each member in North America last year. Across the world, it's about $20 per member. Facebook, the company, is valued at about $450 billion because investors believe it will find even more ways to make money from collecting data on its 2 billion members. So, you know, Dave will often say this, everything that they say is free ain't free. Facebook ain't free. None of these free networks are really free. Black Talk Radio is free. So let me just say that. It is free because we have a small group of donors that supply enough money for us to keep the operations going to the point that we don't have to charge people to access the content that they access. And there's a lot of people accessing the content. Matter of fact, our UK representative or our volunteer in the UK who puts all our stats from our different reporting, because I gather all the stats from the different sources, like our YouTube views, our digital radio views, and you know, the stuff that we're putting out on social media. So she puts all of that together. You know, and so we, you know, send that out to our donors. So, but we are free. We are free. Now, BTR community, you know, $24 a year, that's $2 a month. And we continue to have that model because we don't want to be relying on advertisers. Looks like we have a call in again. At any time, anyone can jump in, but I can talk. I can talk for hours. I have things to say. But the phone lines are open. If you have a question or a comment, you can give us a call at 704-802-5056 and hit star to unmute yourself. I'll see you on the board. But please try to watch your background noise. But looks like we got Ross on the line. I believe that's Ross. 609, what say you?
Peace, Brother Scotty. How you doing?
I'm doing the best I can.
Me too. Under these conditions, like you say, I'm gonna finish the sentence for you. I got on kind of late, but I caught the discussion you were having on Mark Zuckerberg. I've been posting feverishly about this whole thing from the beginning. And I agree with you. Regulation is not necessarily a good thing. I think what it is, because if you look at Facebook, they've already been regulated by the government. They've just been doing it in a clandestine way. They, you know, it's the Alphabet Boys. They troll the sites, ATF, FBI, DEA. They raid people's houses based on information they gather from their Facebook pages. So they're already being regulated by the government. It's just a clandestine operation.
Right.
For him to go in front of the government, the Congress, and actually verbalize that openly is just putting it out on the public for the public to consume that, yes, I'm willing to move forward with this, but they've been doing that.
Right.
And that also psychosocially conditions Facebook users into thinking, oh, Facebook is being transparent. So maybe I should give them a second chance, because Zuckerberg is actually saying he wants government regulation, because we've been conditioned as a society to think that government regulation is a good thing.
Right.
That when they come in, everything's going to be done right and equitable. I don't use the term fair. So it'll be equitable and people's information, you know, would be safer, whatever they need to do to give people the impression that things are not what they really are, so that the users go back blindly to just using Facebook and giving away the information free. So to me, that's the ruse with him going before Congress and making this open statement. Because, I mean, from day one, they've always had direct connections to the Alphabet Boys. All of their apps are the most invasive apps, where, you know, once you download the app and you read the fine print, that they can access your entire address book. They can access the records of your relatives, the people in your household. Like, the connections that it makes is just crazy, as far as just the people you might be connected to through your phone and your address book and all of these things, your email address book as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, if people are paying attention, especially people who use Facebook, because I've never wanted to use them, actually. I was against it for many years. When I finally got on, it was because I was just doing a lot of work as far as just helping other black people understand our history as a global African people.
Right, to disseminate information. You're just going where the people are to disseminate information, which is why Black Talk Radio, you know, established a page, and I had to create a personal profile in order to create the pages New Abolitionist Radio and Black Talk mm-hmm. Radio Network. And we do reach a lot of people through that model, but I knew what I was getting into when I got on there, though. I wasn't going in naive, you know?
Yeah, me too. And I didn't want to do it, but I had gotten such a reputation that I said, you know what? People want to talk to me. Let me do that. And I got on there, and I started noticing that they would change their privacy policies regularly.
Mm-hmm.
If you put your privacy policies a certain way, when they changed it, it would all be removed. If you close your page to people, it will be open for public viewing. All of this stuff would happen automatically. I just posted about that too, that they were making changes that were affecting people on a deeply personal level without getting their consent. All of this was coming out over these weeks with this stuff. So as it got worse, and I started having experiences in the real world where my phones were being messed with, we were being tailed by different Alphabet Boy groups, like my family was.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and son had experiences. I had a very close friend who lost his life to the work that we were doing. So that's when I said, you know what, I got to get off Facebook. So I got off in 2007, and I haven't been on there since. And as I got off of there, things started to change as far as the overt oppression we were experiencing dissipating to a degree. So I know I'm still being watched. That's neither here nor there. But it's not in the way and with the intensity that I was being watched before. And my thing with the whole Facebook thing, it just ties into what you and Dave talk about all the time. There's nothing that you get from any aspect of this society that they tell you is free, that is free. There's always a caveat with them. And the caveat is either some form of domination or some form of theft. And with Facebook, the theft is your information. You're paying with your life force, your life energy. And that's why they call it the World Wide Web. You know, they're capturing you in the web. And when they do things like the data mining, they go through your address book, think of your address book or think of all of that stuff as like a graph.
What you're talking about, Ross, so people who are not techies know what you're talking about. He's not talking about when you access Facebook through your computer, but when you use that Facebook app on your phone, it can go into your phone book on your phone.
Absolutely. And they'll say, are you connected? You didn't connect with this person. Do you know them? Like, it'll pop up with those little messages. And you're like, well, how do they know? That's because they're in your address book when you use the app. That's one thing I wanted to say, too, that downloading apps is the most dangerous thing you could do if you're really about privacy.
Right.
When you hear about major breaches, even with banks and whatnot, the first thing they say is they hack the app. Mm-hmm. You know, I never use apps. When I go to my bank, I log in. I go online and I log in directly and I get off. I don't download apps at all. That's one thing I don't do. And if I do have to download an app, it has to be something that's absolutely necessary before I will download it. And I'll still read, you know, educate myself on what I'm giving away to use the app. But for the most part, I don't do the apps at all. I'm
you're
not going to find 30, 40, 50 apps on my phone. So I just wanted to just toss that out there, this whole idea of him going before Congress and asking for or saying that he's willing to have government regulation. It's just him trying to fool the public into thinking he's doing something that is not true. They've been all in there regulating from day one because they've been making buku bucks off of arresting people for all kinds of things on Facebook. So, and it's not just Facebook, it's Twitter, it's all these places, it's all the same thing. And that's all I wanted to say for now, but as you know, keep laying everything out, I'll just chime in where I have something constructive to add to the conversation. Thanks again, good brother, and great job.
All right, thank you, Ross, for that. Otis says in the chat room that Messenger is tied to Facebook online too through the computer. I turned off all permissions for camera, mic, etc. See, I didn't know that, Otis. I didn't know that they made a desktop version of Messenger because I don't have it, so I didn't even know that. So thank you for sharing that. But I do have noticed, you know, what you're talking about. Like some of these websites or the articles that I'm sharing, it asks me to allow or deny a push notifications, you know, whenever they come out with a new article or something like that. So that allows them, you know, to install something on my computer and connect to my computer. And I don't know those people, you know, I don't know you. And I know your website address. I know how to manually log on your website and check for new articles. I don't need you pushing no articles toward me. Okay, and then, you know, that requires an algorithm. How they gonna know what articles I like? Unless they're building some kind of user profile on me. You know, they're viewing what I like. Like we talked about yesterday. Was that yesterday when I told people, or was it the day before yesterday? It was the day before yesterday when I told people that how to find out how Facebook has politically labeled you based off of what you share and talk about and the people you're connected to. And then also last night, we had a great interview with I think it's, sometimes I forget these people's names. His last name is Fishman. I think it was Steve Fishman. He has a podcast. He just came out with examining the criminal justice system in Brooklyn based off of his interactions with some brothers who was wrongfully convicted. But Tag called in and we were talking about the Bronx 120. And that was those young men. I'm not sure if any women got caught up in it or young ladies got caught up in it, but where they charged them under RICO. Like they were the mob or something based off affiliations that they had, as Tag calls them, street families. But, you know, the popo, the slave catchers call them street gangs and what have you. And some of them are gangs. So, you know, out there doing terrible things to people and they need to, you know, be exposed to a different type of energy to show them a better way to do what they're doing. But the FBI, which assisted the NYPD, well, these were federal charges. They used the Facebook profiles to build those connections. Oh, See, you connected to this guy on Facebook. You're in the game. Here's the messages that y'all exchanged and all this and that to build cases on these people. Not for any crimes that they committed, but just for affiliation to one or two people who may have committed a crime. And some of the people had already done time for a murder. And so that's like Tag laid out, double jeopardy. So that's how they can use Facebook against you. So again, that's why on BTR community, we don't require you use your real name. You use a pseudonym, whatever, you know. It's similar to Facebook, but we don't have any apps. We don't have an app for it. People ask me to build an app. I don't need an app. It work on your phone. The website is configured, you know, to adapt to any devices on. Why do I need an app? I don't need an app. Don't your phone got a web browser? Just go to the website. So, you know, I try to avoid all of that type of stuff. Last thing I'll share from this article. A few days ago, Apple CEO Tim Cook said Facebook's got it backward. Asked on MSNBC what he'd do if he were in Zuckerberg's shoes, he said, "I wouldn't be in this situation. Consumers can pay for privacy," he said, and asserted that Apple makes better products because it sells them directly to consumers rather than selling users to advertisers. And of course, Zuckerberg didn't like that, and he, you know, pushed back against it. So again, as I stated, time goes by fast, man. And, you know, but we're sharing good information. A program will flow the way that it flows. But if you want to check Facebook, thanks, Otis, for posting it again in the chat room. If you want to see what I'm talking about, because remember, I tell you, don't trust me, don't trust anyone, verify, okay, verify, 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 fact check, fact check, fact check. You can go to Facebook if you want to see how they politically labeling you. Go to settings, and then there is a section for all apps, even ones you don't know you had. Okay, that's not it. All right. I just listened to Tando Radio Show from 2 days ago, and you'll get those instructions. When Dave was last on air, I shared that information on how Facebook is politically labeling you. All right, so I'm done with that article right there. Let me move on to this other very, very troubling article. It's troubling, and if these people who are opposing this and exposing this are sincere, it also gives you some hope. You know, that there are some people that see something wrong here and they're speaking out against it. But the Daily News published an article said South Korean Institute denies it's making killer robots amid the boycott. So I'm sure most people, not all, you know, some people just don't watch movies or they're not into certain types of movies. But you heard of the Terminator series, right? So this South Korean Institute is called the Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology are being accused of actually trying to develop Terminator robots using artificial intelligence. Now, I think sometimes we overblow artificial intelligence, that, you know, we saying that, you know, it's just scary and all that. There are some good uses for artificial intelligence to where, you know, just a little simple stuff that somebody might ask. Like, for example, if I'm on a website and I'm trying to learn how to use it, and you always usually have a frequently asked questions section. Well, a lot of people don't even check the website. Now, I know this for a fact, because I have people contacting me about how do I get a radio show on Black Talk Radio Network, or how I start a podcast, or what equipment do I need? And I'm saying to myself, all that information is right there on the website. It's right there in that menu that tell you the prices. It tell you what the equipment is needed. It even got tutorials. So obviously these people are not reading or looking for the information on the website, and they just contacted me, you know, and that takes up a lot of my time. I answer them, but just keeping it real, it does get annoying to me, because I'm like, damn, I put in a lot of time putting up these tutorials, and you know, that's why we got this section here that say podcasting, unlimited podcasting. You want to know how much it costs? Click on that. You want to know what equipment you need? Click on the Digital Media School, and it'll tell you all of that. But I don't know what that is, man. I don't know if it's laziness. I don't know if people are illiterate. I mean, if they're illiterate, then they shouldn't be trying to, you know, do something like that. But that can get annoying. So some of these companies will set up artificial intelligence, which really isn't intelligent. All it is a program that's designed to give responses based on the input that is entered into, you know, the interface. So I am not that afraid of those type of things. But when you start talking about military applications, yes, you should be worried about that. So I'm going to share a little bit from this article. It says, again, from the Daily News, South Korean Institute denies it makes killer robots amid boycott. Be wary of a class project that can literally blow up in your face. Over 50 experts in AI sent that message as they boycotted the Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology over concerns it's developing killer robots. This Pandora's box will be hard to close if it is open, reads their open letter from the school. As with other technologies banned in the past, like blinding lasers, we can simply decide not to develop them. Now, look, let me state this. Already in California, they have deployed robot security guards. Now, from what I could gather, they did not have the ability to act autonomously. They were basically like, I guess, motion detectors. You know, when the lights come on, when it detects motion, you know, within a certain range in your yard, it'll turn the lights on. That's what I gather from these security guard robots, which I was kind of mad about that. I was like, damn, you know, y'all just trying to find every way you can to put human beings out of work. You know, from the autonomous trucks and cars to now security guards. So they actually have deployed some robots, security guards in California. You can look that up. I think it's in Simi Valley. I'm not sure. I can't recall what company it was that were using these robots and what have you. So they're already out there. Now, what these people are talking about is deploying Terminator robots, just like in the movie. Just like in the movie. If you haven't seen Terminator, just, you know, you could pretty much get the premise by just Googling or go to YouTube and look up some of the videos, and, you know, you'll see certain scenes. You'll get the idea or the gist of what they're talking about. So they say these professors or these technologists and AI said, we urge them to follow this path and work instead on uses of AI to improve and not harm human lives. The Institute verbally fired back about the allegations. It recently opened with defense company Hanwha Systems was creating autonomous war machines. Sung-Shu Shin, the Institute's president, said no intention to engage in development of lethal autonomous weapon systems and killer robots. I reaffirm once again that KAIST will not conduct any research activities counter to human dignity, including autonomous weapons lacking meaningful human control. Toby Wash, an Australian AI scientist who organized the protest, said to Reuters he needs to check with the 50-plus other signers before calling off the resistance. The group threatened not to work with the Institute or hosted scientists in the 30 countries they represented. So, this is something that is very concerning. I don't think that these scientists working in that field would be crying wolf if there wasn't some evidence that they've seen or some real concern that they are doing exactly what they are being accused of doing. And that is making Terminator robots. All right. Let me see. I think we got Thomas who wants to chime in on that. I know Thomas is interested in AI. a lot. So, Thomas, what do you have to say about this possibility that this company is working on building Terminators like we seen in the movie?
I would say that if they aren't, they're crazy. Because the U.S. certainly are, Russia certainly is, and China certainly is. So, in my opinion, with the threat of nuclear war on their border, I would be creating as many killer robots as I can if I was them. I mean, it just makes no sense. Now, for sure, DARPA, the Defense Department, they put almost $100 billion to Google to create these killer robots. Not so much create the killer robots. Google just bought the company that was creating the robots. What Google's making is the ability for the robots to think on their own and make life or death decisions on the battlefield.
Yeah, that's what they're like saying that these people are doing.
Yeah, so that means they're just following suit. To me, that's the new nuclear threat. As you read, it's an article that came out earlier this year. Putin was in a college in Russia, and he pretty much said, whoever leads in AI will rule the world. And he said, your drones take out my drones, or my drones take out their drone, the war is over. There's no need to fight anymore, you know. So I think that they're just in line, Scotty, with what they should be doing at this time.
Now, when you say should be, I don't agree with that, Thomas, because I share the concerns of these scientists that these things can, the potential is there for them to become autonomous, actually think for themselves and what have you. Remember we shared the story about Facebook was messing around with AI technology and created these two bots, and the bots started talking to each other in their own and created their own language,
and
nobody knew what they were talking about.
The reason why I say they should is because they have North Korea just shooting nuclear missiles off. I mean, what deterrent do they have? You know, they could put 1,000 of these robots on the border and say, listen, y'all shoot a nuke and watch what happens. You know, that would even out the balance. I don't agree with the killer robots at all. I mean, it's the Terminator. Like you said, once it goes online, it decides that the humans are the threat.
Right.
It's a rap for humans.
Right.
However, in their situation, with the U.S. already building them, the company that Google created, that Google bought and was making the AGI, Artificial General Intelligence, that's the artificial intelligence where the machine could think for itself.
Mm-hmm.
That was just bought by SoftBank, which is Japan. So now Japan has that technology as well. So I just think that in this day and age, South Korea is on the verge with the U.S. dollar falling.
Hey, but this is, just for clarification, this isn't North Korea. This is South Korea.
Yeah, South Korea. Mm-hmm. They're on the verge of being a superpower. I mean, they got Samsung, they got LG, they got Hyundai, they got big corporations that sell products worldwide. They're competing with China, the U.S. companies. So I just don't see them putting themselves in a position where they can't defend themselves. Either that or they build, or South Korea starts building nukes, and then that's just as dangerous.
All right. Well, thank you, Thomas, for sharing your perspective on this. Now, what I was thinking earlier, though, are there juices? Well, first of all, I'm like Dr. King, man. And even though I'm former military and I understand, I believe in self-defense. Okay. But we want to eliminate war. But I can see, as a former soldier, the benefits. If I was out there on that battlefield, take, for example, these IEDs, these improvised explosive devices. I'd rather have an autonomous robot, not one that's thinking for itself, but I have some measure of control sweeping ahead so I don't get blowed up by one. You know, so I can see the potential. I do see military uses that would save lives. But then what about the combat soldier? How do you program him on who to kill? Okay, like somebody else had mentioned in BTR community, what, you're going to program them to kill people based on their genetic makeup? based on their skin color, based on the shape of their eyes, the color of their hair. I mean, you know, how is it going to tell who's the enemy and who's not the enemy? Everybody don't use uniforms. What, you're going to have to put some kind of device on the friendly troops that's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be saving their lives so that it doesn't mistake them for the enemy? I just think it's a very slippery slope.
But I agree with you, Scotty, and that is true. What they've done is they created these uniforms for the soldiers that kind of read like a barcode. So if you're wearing this uniform, it pretty much makes the robot not want to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they're separating one person from the next. And like you said, this is totally inhumane. There's a treaty between all these countries not to make killer robots. But the U.S. is doing it. And we already know they're not going to follow any treaties.
Oh, of course.
So, you know, you'll be a fool not to follow suit. And this, you know, because they'll use these weapons. I mean, we've already seen that they'll nuke you or atomic bomb you. I mean, I would be taking every precaution I can. Now, Russia's robots, being that Russia is not as technically advanced with the AGI, so they're still using artificial intelligence, but theirs works like, you ever see the movie Pacific Rim?
Yes.
So theirs is like, the person could be all the way in Russia, but he has to be doing the walking, he has to be doing the shooting, looking at what the robot sees through the eyes, so that it'll be a person making those decisions, even though the robot would be
Well, that's pretty much how drones work now.
Huh?
That's how drones work now. They have a human operator.
A human operator all the way in Vegas flying a drone all the way in. Yeah, definitely. So, but what the U.S. is doing is they're having robots that walk like humans. I mean, I send you a video with this thing doing a backflip and landing. So they're building the actual Terminator. Yeah, if I was any other country right now, I would be doing the same thing. If this wasn't the U.S., I probably wouldn't worry about it. But we know these people will use it, and to their advantage, anytime they get a chance to.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Thomas. Hey, if you want to chime back in later, please do so. I'm gonna place you on mute because we're getting a little background noise. I know you live in a city, and we're gonna hear that city noise and what have you. So chime back in whenever you choose. Let's move on to the next story. As I stated, I ain't gonna be able to get to all these stories, but you can check out the stories, the headlines that I mentioned at the top of the program by going to btrcommunity.com. Look for my post on Dave's profile for David W. Tando Radio Show. It says Tando Radio Show News and Current Events for April the 5th. I'm going to take a station identification break, and we'll come back and we'll get into more of these stories.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
And welcome back to Tando Radio Show. Tando Radio Show airs Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern till 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern on the Black Talk Radio Network. My name is Scotty. I'm sitting in for Dave, who is off until Monday. We're looking at getting some guest hosts for you tomorrow, but there will be a broadcast of Tando tomorrow, which is Friday, April the 6th. Now, the yes, who's speaking?
Please, I'm sorry for interjecting. Before you move on from the killer robot topic, there was something else I just wanted to interject, because I've been listening to another black radio show host. His name is Sean Anthony, for quite a while, and he had a series dealing with artificial intelligence, a few of them, but in one, he had pulled out some major, major articles breaking down that when these scientists and these computer geeks that make these artificial intelligence algorithms and whatnot, when they are allowed them to make their own decisions,
mm-hmm.
they cannot determine why they do the things they do. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to create an autonomous being, and you can't even conceive of what its own thought process is before it does something, and it
right.
can't explain to you what its thought process is? That's the whole thing of what makes us human. Is mm-hmm. what happens when someone commits a crime, they find out why. You right. can trace it back and say, oh, this is the motive, this is the opportunity. They took the opportunity, they committed the crime. Mm-hmm. With these bots, they can't determine from any means that they've tried to date as to why it's making the decisions it's making.
Right.
So that is a whole other thing. And what that ties into, too, is if they become in some form artificially sentient, now mind you, all of these programs are being made by racists. So these programs are exhibiting racism, white supremacy. That's documented for the last few years now. But what if they become sentient in an artificial way and they start seeing that the problem is white people?
Hmm.
And these artificial intelligences have access to military capabilities and they turn against humanity. This is like a real possibility. Because like you said, when the Facebook situation went down, I mean, not Facebook, the bots, the Google bots, or it was Facebook.
No, that was Facebook.
It was Facebook, where they're communicating in their own language and they couldn't determine, so they shut down that artificial intelligence program. These robots are going to do the same thing. And we're not going to know robots. We don't know what these bleeps and beeps mean, but they know, and they're able to determine who the problem is according to how they're programmed, and then the people who created them can't explain, well, why did it kill these people? We don't know. Okay. So that's a whole other angle to think about with the whole thing. So I think, like, the way drones operate and the other robots that Thomas had alluded to before, where there's a human operator that's able to see through the cameras and the eyes of whatever vehicle that's being used, and they make the decision, that is the best way at this time to utilize artificial intelligence, or in basic ways where they make basic decisions. But to give them control over complex
life or death decisions,
why they do what they do, is the most dangerous thing possible. And thank you so much. I mute my line.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it is, yeah, it's very scary. Otis wants to chime in on this topic. Go ahead, Otis.
Oh yeah, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I just want to read the article you read. Part of the language was saying that these people are having a protest, the scientists, whatever, have a protest, but the company came out and used a very evasive statement. They said that they weren't going to create any autonomous lethal robots, mm-hmm, lacking meaningful human control.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, if they weren't crossing the line, the people wouldn't be protesting, would they?
No, that's what I'm saying. These other scientists, exactly, must have got a hold of some evidence that has them concerned.
Exactly. And that meaningful human control, you know, these people always try to come up with phrases to give themselves the back door.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. There's a reason these people are protesting. Mute myself.
All right. Thank you for chiming in, Otis. Next story. I don't know a lot of details on this, but listen, if you heard about the police shooting that happened yesterday, Tag called in, or it was the day before yesterday. Tag, who lives in NYC, called in last night and told us about this man being killed. Now, let me open up this article. And I'm so sick and tired of these cops pretending like they don't know what a freaking gun looks like. They don't know what a handgun looks like. You know, I'm like, you train with guns. Okay, now it's telling me, hold up, no New York Times, I'm not paying you $9 a month to access your articles. So give me my free number for the month. But New York City, let me just share some of the article. New York City police officer shot and killed a black man who was known to be mentally ill on a Brooklyn street corner on Wednesday afternoon. So yeah, this was yesterday. After he pointed what the officers, now here's the key word, believed was a gun at them, the authorities said. The object, however, turned out to be a metal pipe with a knob on it. Now, the reason, because I don't like New York Times, you know, they give you a lot of state-sponsored fake news, too. Not everything, but I just don't like the New York Times. They have historically been a part of the racist system and keeping it going and putting out a lot of disinformation. But this article is the only one I could find that had an actual picture of what this guy had in his hands. And it looks nothing like a gun. And I'm so sick and tired of these slave catchers talking about, we believed he had a gun or he had something in his hand. Now, you train with guns. You have to qualify on these weapons, I would hope. You know, we did in the military. You know, we had to qualify every year. So if you don't know what a freaking gun looks like, then you don't need to have a gun. If you can't even tell what one looks like, you know, and this looks nothing like a gun. This looks like something it looks like a compressor with a pipe attached to it. You know, something you find in the back of a refrigerator or something. Okay, looks nothing like a gun. And this wasn't at night. It wasn't dark. As far as I can tell, let me check. It was during the daytime. Okay? And they shot this man down. And I keep telling people, man, don't believe these killer cops. Don't believe these slave catchers. They ain't thought they saw no gun or nothing like that. They just using that as justification. All right? And the public will accept that. It's just sick, man. I'm so sick of these excuses and these slave catchers not being held accountable. And it's this type of stuff, and I keep saying it. I don't care who like it. All right? And I'm talking about any government sources listening in. I know the former NYPD Commissioner Bratton used to listen to Black Talk Radio because he said some stuff to some cadets that he ain't heard nowhere but on here. Who else calling and saying that they view us as slave catchers? They view, you know, everything that happens bad in the black community, we're involved. Who else? So I don't care if they listen or not. But this is a national security issue. And I say that because despite what you've been taught, the fake history you've been taught, the American Revolution was not started over taxation without representation. All right. Those people like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and all of them did not start. They didn't even start the revolution. They came in and hijacked the revolution because they had all the money and what have you, but they hijacked it. All right. The revolution started because of the Boston Massacre. If you don't know what the Boston Massacre is, let me give you a quick history lesson. There was in Boston during colonial times, there was a young teenage colonist. I don't know what his skin color was, and that's immaterial to the story. But he was brutalized by British soldiers. They beat him up. Police brutality, we might as well say, because they were the police of the colonies, the British soldiers. So they abused this teenager. This teenager apparently went and told some people. Crispus Attucks, a black man of also Native American descent. He was African and Native American of descent. As far as what we know about him, he looks black from the pictures, not the pictures, but the drawings. But Crispus Attucks is described as the so-called ringleader. He was the leader of the group. And him and some other colonists went to confront these British soldiers for brutalizing this young teenager. And they had clubs in their hands and they was going to do battle with these terrorists, right? So the British soldiers fired on them and shot and killed them. And it was soon after that the American Revolution started, and Boston Massacre was cited as one of the reasons. The American Revolution started over police brutality, y'all. It didn't start over taxation without representation. It started over police brutality. And it was started by a black man who was like, we're not going to keep accepting this abuse from these soldiers. These killer cops, slave catchers today are pushing us and pushing us and pushing us until one day something is going to happen. And it's going to be another start of another revolution. That started just because of the actions of a few people. Okay? Don't think it can't happen today. So that's how I feel about it. These people, these slave catchers are a threat to our well-being. They are a threat to all life behind these enemy lines. And that's why I call it behind enemy lines. And the Supreme Court has ruled in favor of police, a police department who argued our job isn't to protect you. Our job is to enforce the law. And as I stated in the past, what laws have they been enforcing? Every unjust, racist, white supremacist, slavery supporting law that's been on the books. Okay? I'm not impressed by these cities, so-called sanctuary cities, that say, hey, we're going to not obey the law and we're going to provide sanctuary for undocumented immigrants. Now, my views on so-called illegal immigration is complex. Okay? You do have to have control of your borders. You really do. But those people wouldn't be coming here if not for a U.S. destabilization policies that have made their countries unsafe. So I do feel like the United States is obligated to give them sanctuary. But let me clarify what I'm saying about these cities, mostly in California, that call themselves sanctuary cities, and we're not going to cooperate with federal agents, whether we're talking about ICE or any other federal agent. We're not going to cooperate with them to round up these undocumented people and turn them over and put them in a private prison and whatnot. We're going to forbid our police, our slave catchers, from catching those kind of slaves. Okay? Where are the sanctuary cities for black people? Where are these municipalities saying, you know what? The drug war is unjust. It isn't being prosecuted, as Ross said, equitably. It's targeting black people primarily, and then non-white people second, and then poor white people last. Okay, where are the city's councils saying, you know what, federal government, keep your drug war money. We don't want your grants to fight the so-called drug war because we think the drug war is immoral and it's a war on people. Where are those sanctuary cities at? I am not impressed. I am not impressed with any of these mayors, any of these city councils who call themselves standing on the side of justice by providing sanctuary for undocumented immigrants, but at the same time still taking government money and working with the federal government to lock people up over nonviolent victimless crimes because the government says, oh, we don't want you smoking weed. You drink all the alcohol you want. You could drink until your liver is no good. But smoke some weed, we throwing you in jail. We ain't going to provide you with the jobs that you need. So if you get out there in the streets and struggling and trying to provide for your own self by participating in this illegal street market we created with our prohibition policies. Y'all see what I'm getting at? Where the sanctuary cities for black people at? So I'm not impressed by that. Not impressed. And these type of stories are every day. You know, if we want to throw out the racial classifications, there's about 3 Americans being killed every day. Every day. And then we got these fools out here running around, waving a flag, talking about they patriots and they stand against tyranny. But yet you pro slave catcher, you pro police. How does that jive? How can you be for freedom and liberty and justice for all and you pro police when they are the enforcers of injustice and tyranny?
Excuse me, Scotty?
Yes.
Hey, peace and love. I just wanted to chime in on what you were just talking about with the sanctuary cities. I agree with you. I think the reason they exist is because it helps white people refine practicing racism. If you look at the whole sanctuary city situation, there's been this false premise that these immigrants are taking jobs from, you know, people who need them here. And that's not really the case. These jobs are being given to those people. Just like for people who
Ross, I'm sorry, Ross, let me interject. See, this is what I'm talking about, people, why words are important and knowing the definition of words. Ross is absolutely correct. They ain't taking nothing. To take something means that you didn't want me to have it. And I just came up to you and I took it. These jobs are being given to these people. Go ahead, Ross.
Absolutely. Neely Fuller said that too. And the thing about it is that it's being given to them because it creates arguments between those black people, those brown people, and those poor white people with these immigrants, so that they're not focusing on the white people who gave the jobs away. And it's the same thing where, you know, I've heard people say, oh, these black people coming from Africa and they're being called African Americans and they're getting these benefits. No, who Neely Fuller made that clear. The people who make the labels are white. So when they're being called African Americans, it's white people telling them to do that. And if you come from a country where you have less than nothing and you're given an opportunity, you're going to take it. You're not thinking about the expense of the people in that land. You're thinking, man, I just came out of hell on earth. I'm getting something to help me try and make something of myself. Then I'm going to take advantage of that. They have no concept of the overarching machinations of the system of white supremacy, and that it's causing a problem with native-born black Americans that are seeing them as the problem and the enemy in a situation where they really shouldn't. And this just ties into what I've always said about making inroads between different groups of black people around the world. If you educate those immigrants on what's happening, maybe you can have a Pan-African move against what's being done to you. But if you keep looking at them as the enemy and you always got something negative to say, then you're creating a rift that they want you to create, and you'll never get anywhere. And again, it reminds me of a situation that took place, and I brought this up, it's like the third time, but I think it's very appropriate to this conversation, where they had a Somali brother that was lynched in Seattle. We talked about it on the Cows, on a compensatory call-in. And there was a whole Somali community. This young Somali man was lynched, and the Somali community came out in support of the guy's family and all of this stuff. And like over the next like 2 to 4 weeks, there were all of these protests because black Americans came out and raised hell. They were like, listen, y'all lynched this man. And the Somali community had no understanding as to why all this hoopla took place over the murder of their comrade. That's an opportunity. They don't understand white supremacy the way it's practiced here. They only understand the way it's practiced in Somalia, where they're being bombed and shot up and killed and all of that. So they have no concept of the history of lynching black people in America. They're thinking they're coming here and they're going to get equitable treatment and they're going to be able to make a means for themselves after coming from a war-torn land that white people destroyed in the first place to make them emigrate here. And that was an opportunity to school them on what they've moved into now, because they've left and they've jumped into the fire by living in America and not understanding white supremacy as this practice here. And if they were able to do that, if we're able to make those inroads with those people, that's another group of people that can help us do something about what's happening to us. So, and I mean, if you look at all of our leaders, you know, I've been hearing stuff like, African people, you know, they're now making moves to unite. They've been trying to do that for years, whether it was Julius Nyerere or Patrice Lumumba or Thomas Sankara or David Sebeko or Stephen Biko, and you can just keep naming them, and they keep getting murdered. So it's not that they've never tried and didn't want inroads with black Americans. That's been the fact from day one. Kwame Nkrumah, I know somebody who knew his right-hand man and best friend personally, and he made it crystal clear that that's what they wanted. And as you so eloquently stated, they've even allowed immigration of black Americans there as a form of reparations for their country's role in the slave trade. So that's always been done. When you look at Malcolm X, he made inroads not just in Africa, but in the Caribbean, South America, the Far East, China, all over the place, to take the United States and European powers to court, international court, to charge them with human rights crimes. That's what he was killed for. And he had gotten Martin Luther King on the same thing. That was a major reason he was taken out. So there's always been an attempt between both sides of the pond, as they call it proverbially, to make connections with each other that have been constantly thwarted by the machinations of white supremacy. And we have to study history so we don't make these unfounded terms that are not accurate. All you got to do is just read The Judas Factor, The Plot to Kill Malcolm X, and you'll see what making a global Pan-African connection look like, because they detail it when they talk about why Malcolm was killed. Or watch the documentary with Zach Condo, where he explains the same thing. I put it up on VTR Community. So let's make these moves, because we need each other. We may not think we do, and in recent months, we've come to this place of just everybody being separatist in a lot of ways from wherever you're from, and it's not conducive to us solving the problem. Let's get out our bag and let's work on the problem. Get out your bag and solve the problem. I'll mute my line.
All right. Thank you, Thomas, for that very insightful commentary. Yes, those things have always been going on, but especially through the CIA, through the World Bank, through even the Vatican, they have worked to undermine those attempts of African people working together to improve the lives of everyone. All right, so I only got, 30 more minutes? We got BIB Radio on tonight. It is Thursday night. So y'all make sure y'all keep it locked right here for Blacks in Business Radio. Next article, next couple of things I want to cover. This is just about doing your research, like what Ross was just talking about. All right, so I follow this YouTube channel. They share a lot of good information, especially like these old videos of speeches that different Black leaders have put up, but mainly about Malcolm X, and so that's why I started following them. So I was going through my YouTube.
Hey, Scott, before you switch topics, can I say something?
Yes, please. Go ahead, Thomas.
Relegated to the shooting, because I watched that last night.
Okay.
And the news did a very good job at coming out right. We have a news channel in New York called New York One. Mm-hmm. And right away, I mean, they had pictures of this man holding his pipe, pointing it at people in a way like it would look like a gun, but it was a still shot, so of course they took that from a video, so he could have just did that in 1 second and put it back down or whatever. And they made it very clear that people called saying that this guy was pointing the gun at them, that's why they went there. The reason why I think they came out so fast is because the people were out on the streets in Brooklyn. They had the cops back down. They you know, Brooklyn was just gonna be bad. That's the blackest part of the country. So, blackest section of the country, of course, the Black Belt. So I think that they made a concerted effort to do that. However, the people that they were speaking to from the community kept saying that this man does this all the time. He has a mental illness. Why would they shoot him? He's a friendly person. He never harms anyone. He walks, he even has a walk that would indicate that he's special. That's what they were saying. So I think that the police came out and tried to get in front of this before it got real ugly. And it's, as you said, there's no way that a trained officer should not be able to. I could see the citizen, a scared old lady or a little kid or something, thinking that this man is pointing the gun at them if they don't know any better. But an officer, they should have definitely known that it was too thin to be a gun. It was very thin too, like a straw.
Wow. You know what? Also, though, now, I'm just using common sense. I've never been a cop. You know, Dave used to work in police, and I've never been a cop. I did have a job briefly as a security guard and whatnot. But just think about this. If I get a report that there's a man with a gun on the street out there pointing at people, I'm going to do some recon before I just roll up on them. You know what I'm saying? If there's no reports of active shooting, if nobody's been shot, I'm not getting on the radio, gunshots, you know, fired, we heard gunshots from this location, you know, I'm not just going to run up on a dangerous person, on a potentially life-threatening situation. I'm going to get behind some cars, I'm going to have some cover, and I'm going to observe, and I'm going to scope this person out to assess the situation, to get the lay of the land, as they say. And it is my assertion that if they had took the time to observe this man, they would have saw that there was not a gun in his hand. That's the way.
Hey, Scotty, that's a normal way of looking at things, but these are white people, man. They heard nigga with a gun, And they rushed to the scene. They were trying to get there first to shoot them. I mean, this is how they think.
Well, that's so, what I'm
that
saying.
Was a very rational way like that. That's how I would do it. Like, let's see what's going on. But, I mean, look at how they did Tamir Rice. Just jumped out. Not even
right. They're looking to kill. They're looking. They probably have dreams of, is today going
to
be the day I get to shoot somebody? Am I going to get to use my weapon today? I have no doubt some of them think like that.
Hey, Scotty, you know, about that situation, just think about that article. I think you posted it, where you had the two white men with knives threatening police, and they got taken in.
Mm-hmm.
They were not gunned down.
It was one white person with two knives.
Shot in the leg. They didn't. They no lethal shot. Shot him in the leg. Took him in.
No, they used a taser on him.
Go ahead.
They used a taser on him. He had two butcher knives. They had what Ross is talking about. I posted the video on blacktalkradionetwork.com because I wrote a little piece about it, and I compared that video and contrasted it with the black woman in the car who got shot in the head as soon as she stepped foot on the doggone ground. When she getting out the burning car, they shot her in the head within less than a second. Less than a second. But the white guy, they got a report that this white man, I don't know if they told him what the man color was. So, but anyway, they got reports of a man in an apartment building with two big knives and threatening residents. So the video starts with the police officers with their dash, you know, their body cam videos on, going up the stairs, making their way through the stairwell. Then they come across the guy. He's sitting down at first. He stands up. He got these two butcher knives in his hand. And then he starts walking towards them, talking about, shoot me, shoot me, shoot me. And so the one cop determined that, hey, I'm not going to shoot this guy. I'm put my weapon up. I'm pull out my taser. I'm going to tase him. And then we're going to handcuff him and take him in without incident. That's how that went down, Ross.
And the crazy part about that was none of that kind of thought goes into any part of the process with us. They don't listen to all the thought that it took and the time and the patience and the energy that he spent to not shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember an incident where, because you can't shoot a white person and get away with it like that in this country. And I remember there was an incident, I posted it, and there was a video that went along with it of a white child about 17 years old, 16, 17. He was driving a car. He got pulled over by the police. When the police officer was telling him what to do, he got out the car, and then he started to curse at him, and he was belligerent. And then he attacked the officer. He started punching him in the face. He knocked him to the ground. They were struggling, and he ended up shooting him in the chest, and he died. And they were going to bury that white cop under the jail. When the incident first came out, his parents went crazy. There was all this hoopla made. And what saved his behind from a life in prison and probably the worst abuse he would ever suffer was his body cam. Because on the body cam, it clearly shows him telling him what to do. He complied at first. But he started talking, getting belligerent. He started cursing at him, and then he was stalking him. He just walked towards him, and he just started punching him in the face. And if he didn't have the cam to prove that he was attacked and then shot him in self-defense, that would have been it. And that's what I mean. They understand this is a system of white supremacy, and white people reign supreme. You can't just kill one of them. With us, it's like Thomas said, you know, Tamir Rice, 12 years old, you leap out the vehicle like a superhero and just gun him down without thinking twice.
Mm-hmm.
Not even once.
Mm-hmm.
That shows, that's just a plain exposition there of what this system looks like when you're melanated and when you lack melanin. And that is a powerful thing to process in the mind, because it really lets you know who and what you're dealing with, and it should really be alarming that, you know, this is continuing to happen on the scale that it does. It's just crazy, but it's the system. I can't even call it crazy. That's incorrect. This is white supremacy. I mute myself.
All right. Well, Otis, if you could just give me 30 seconds to do a station identification break, and then we'll come straight to you, sir.
Right, sir.
All right. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. It airs Monday through Friday, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, running up until a few minutes before 8 o'clock, right here on Black Talk Radio Network. You can also check out past programs via the podcast archives, also located at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on the other side of this short message.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. All right, welcome back to Tando Radio Show. We've been having interesting conversations on a number of topics. Right now, we are talking about slave catcher violence in the United States. It happens more. I mean, just think about that. The United States shoots and kills more of its citizens than any of these other countries they like to point the finger at and call them dictatorial countries or repressive regimes. Nobody gets shot more by police, by these slave catchers, than Americans. So, you know, what are you being patriotic to? Just before the break, Otis wanted to chime in. Otis, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Scott, thanks to listening to you, I learned to do Google searches and tag them for updates. I put it in the chat room so you can look at it later because you might want to do a show off of this. New York Daily News actually covered that incident really good. They have in it, I put it in the chat room. You can read it right quick if you want to. But basically what they did is executed that man just like Tamir Rice.
Let me read the excerpt you shared.
Yes.
In the chat room, Otis posted the link. Just a quick warning on how that chat room works. Hold down the control key before you click on the link, or it'll just shut the whole browser down if you want to read the article. But Otis did provide an excerpt, and I was reading it while he was talking, and it's exactly went down like how Tamir Rice went down. The excerpt that was provided by Otis from NY Daily News: Jacob Hines, 40, who witnessed the shooting, said officers jumped out of their unmarked police car and fired without warning. They just hopped out of the car. It's almost like they did a hit. They didn't say, please. They didn't say, put up your hands. They said nothing. Bereaved family members fought with security at Kings County Hospital after hospital staff refused to let them see Vassell's body. His 15-year-old son, Tyshawn, described him as a caring father who looked after him. So, again, like I described, if it had been me, if it wasn't a situation where it was an active shooter and there's no reports of shots fired, I'm not just going to run. And then even if I got reports of shots fired, I'm not running into a burning building, okay? I'm going to scope the situation out first and take my time to assess it. And then if they'd have done that, they might have seen it wasn't no gun. But as Otis just shared with us, a witness is saying, hey, they just rolled up and jumped out the car like superheroes, like they was doing a mob hit or something. Go ahead, Otis.
Yeah, the only other thing I want to say, Scotty, is this is the kind of stuff that really upsets me when none of these black politicians and none of these black celebrities have any sympathy for this man. And just like Ross just said and Thomas just said, there's perfect examples of white cops approaching white people with due respect. But here is a black man in the broad daylight in the busy middle of the street. And when you read the article, you end up finding out it was about four cops involved, three undercover, three unmarked, and one in a marked car. And apparently all four shot at him in a crowded downtown street.
Yeah, I think I read they shot about 10 times, 10 shots were fired, something like that.
I mean, it's obvious that they know the difference in how to apprehend somebody without taking their life.
Yeah. So,
but where are these black politicians when it comes to this? This is just physical evidence that there's two ways of policing. There's no if and and about it.
Like I said, these cops, man, they don't be happy to kill these people. They probably was on the way when they got the call. Oh, let's get that call, man. We might get to kill somebody. Soon as they roll up, jump out, shoot. No warning, No, put your hands up. No, we're the police. No, none of that, man. None of that. What a logical person would do. What a reasonable person would do. No, these people had murder on their mind. And they didn't mind murdering this black man, apparently. So,
Hey, Scotty, one more thing here.
Yes, sir.
Real quick ones. What Otis just said and what Rob said was compelling. I got a whole file of white people who didn't get killed by the police but got caught with a weapon on my iPod. It's like, it's probably up to 100 articles I could pull out of that.
Yeah.
It's like a archive. But what Otis just said, I mean, you got so many black politicians in Brooklyn. I ain't seen not one of them on TV standing with the people. And if there's another shooting in Brooklyn this week or next week, it could blow up really bad because I just didn't see, it didn't look like the fake Negro outrage that we normally see.
Uh-huh.
This looked like, I mean, they were pushing the white people who were walking past. What are you looking at? It was like really, you know, Brooklyn's been seriously gentrified, and that is going to, a lot of black people are feeling that. And whole sections of Brooklyn, I'm talking about a borough with over a million black people. Over a million black people, especially if you count the people who would be assessed as black if they committed a crime, and they might speak Spanish, but well, first sight, you know, the police would say they're looking for a black person, well over a million. Same population as Chicago, for the most part, Brooklyn. So, I mean, you're talking about, and it's more condensed. It's not everywhere. It will blow up really bad. And I think that they need to definitely keeping another shooting from happening. There was another shooting that happened with the guy who was going through the window or knocking on his grandmother's window with the phone. And there's another
Stephen Clark
where here the police are supposed to have a light shining on someone that they're looking at from a helicopter. How did they get the wrong person? And no one's asking that question. I'll meet my line on that one, though, bro.
All right. Well, you know, to piggyback off of what Thomas just said about people are very angry in those streets in Brooklyn right now, and this doesn't look like one of those controlled demonstrations. This looks like, you know, something that's raw. Again, it reminds me of the Boston Massacre, the reason cited for the start of the American Revolutionary War. And I'm saying, this is why we need people to be prepared for anything. Because who knows, the second American Revolution, or call it a second Civil War, could pop off from one of these instances. And let's say, for example, there becomes a situation where you got slave catchers being called in from all over the country. Let's go put these Negroes down. Let's go put down this slave rebellion. What the rest of us gonna do? Huh? We gonna sit back and watch it on TV, or are we gonna make some phone calls and say, you know what, dog, we got to roll to New York? I'll leave it at that because I don't want to share too much. All right, let me see. We only got like 10 minutes at the most left in the program. I just want to share a couple of things about fact checking. It's very important to fact check, especially on the internet. Some people share information with you that's wrong, that they don't know it's wrong because they trusted another source, and that source trusted a source, and it was wrong. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's always best to question everything. I always tell people, for as long as I've been doing internet radio, don't trust me. Go look it up for yourself. Do your own research. You want to confirm something as fact, you want to find at least two or three independent sources that's saying the same thing, okay? And then even then, is a possibility you're still getting hit with some fake news because these all of the corporate media outlets was telling the same lies in the run-up to invading Libya and destroying that country. The same lies in the run-up to invading and bombing the heck out of Iraq. So, you know, we just have to be very cognizant that a lot of false information is out there and we have to fact check. So one of the examples I posted was this YouTube channel posted a video And this video has to be from 2016. It don't have a date on it, but he must have got it from 2016. And it was talking about Haiti has joined the African Union, right? So I was like, really? Let me look that up. Let me find some news reports, because he didn't, you know, put no link in the description of his source. So I was like, okay, let me go look this up. I found out that this was being floated as an ideal out there in 2016, and that Haiti did not join the African Union. For what, I didn't get into all the details of why that did not happen. I think it's a good idea, and other people was expressing, you know, they're part of the African diaspora. They're predominantly an African nation, just like the other Caribbean nations. They should become part of the African Union. It shouldn't just be for people on the continent of Africa. Mauritania is an island outside of Africa. But I was reading the comments and people was like, oh man, this is so great. This is good. Yeah, the other people need to do that too. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, look, man, all you had to do was just a little bit of research and you'd have found out that this is from 2016 and that for whatever reason, the deal fell through and Haiti did not join the African Union. So that, I'm just saying, I know that's like not something big or anything like that. But again, you got people right now that's probably telling their family members, hey, I heard today that Haiti joined the African Union. And that's not at all true. We have to fact check stuff. Now, the other one I want to share is we heard that this March for Our Lives, that they got permits months in advance. It turns out that that's not true. All right, a right-wing conservative blog put that out there, fellowshipoftheminds.com, posted a story reporting that organizers of the March for Our Lives rally in Washington, D.C. had applied for march permits months before the 14th February 2018 school shooting in Parkland, Florida. Now, the story was based on an email exchange between James Fetzer, who is and I'm not going to call him a conspiracy theorist, because people, conspiracies do happen. A theory means I don't have any facts, but here's some circumstantial evidence. It doesn't mean that it ain't true. It just means that this is something that could have happened that was plausible. The way Snopes uses conspiracy theorists is like a bad word, like, you know, you crazy or something. All right, so I'm not going to use that word. But this person named James Fetzer had been speaking with Scott Earnhardt, an officer with the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police Department. And in the message, this cop suggested that the permit for the March 24th rally had been submitted well before 14th February. It turns out that wasn't true, that it was another march. It was an anti-abortion march called March for Life that had gotten permits back in when that he was reading from. Okay, so I can see how this cop, which I don't know why he's leaking that type of information anyway, because it's against the law apparently in D.C., even under Freedom of Information Act request, they don't have to tell you who or when somebody got a permit to hold the march, you know what I'm saying, or a protest or a demonstration. And so this guy, who is obviously or likely pro-Second Amendment, which I'm pro-Second Amendment, not that I need the government telling me I got a right to firearms. Common sense tells me I should have firearms, and you're not going to tell me I'm not going to have them. You know, whether I have them illegally or not, I'm going to have them. All right. But anyway, so he suggests that, hey, they had planned this, you know, months in advance, and it turns out it was an anti-abortion march. March for life, not March for our lives. So that could have been an honest mistake on his part, or it could have been he wanted to put that out there to discredit these young people. I don't need to make up stuff or tell a lie, and I'm not saying he's lying. It could have been an honest mistake to tell these young people, y'all ain't got enough experience in this world. You don't know enough about politics. You don't know enough about history to even be telling some, advising somebody on some gun rights. So, you know, kudos to you for raising your voices and doing what you thought was right, but you're wrong if you're talking about some gun control. So, again, it is very important that we try to find a couple of sources. And I think Otis had told me he tried to find separate sources for this story, but it kept going back to the same place. And so that was sort of like gave him a red flag. Let me see. I only got a couple of minutes. I shared an article in there, how to fact check the internet. How to fact check the internet. But I'm going to say this to you. Even the fact checkers, you have to fact check. Because these are human beings, and human beings often have agendas. They have a biases, and they may not share all the facts. Or sometimes they just may get it wrong, because I found Snopes to have gotten stuff wrong. I found PolitiFact to have gotten stuff wrong. So it's just always good to verify everything. You want to find more than one source before you put something out as a fact, okay? And I'm really speaking to people who are independent journalists or bloggers or something like that. Credibility means everything. We have people who look to us for information, and they're trusting us because they may not have time to do all the research, and they're trusting us to do that research. So it is very important that we do as much as research as we can before we share something as a fact. All right. We got BIB Radio, Blacks in Business Radio, with Sister CeCe and Brother Robert 11X Minor coming up. I'm sorry, I know what it was. It's the name. It's something about weird businesses, something like that, about making money and creating businesses that may seem quirky, but there is a market for it. So they'll definitely be thinking outside of the box tonight in creating businesses on Blacks in Business Radio tonight. I want to thank all the callers for calling in and sharing their perspectives and their insights on the stories. Again, you know, it's so much information out there. But I would say if you want to be informed, join BTRCommunity.com. We're always, you know, there's a dedicated group of us who is always sharing information. We debate the information that's being shared. We go back and forth with our thoughts and our opinions. And, we post a lot of information that just don't make it on air. So join us at btrcommunity.com, where you don't have to worry about your information being sold to advertisers or given to the slave catchers. With that said, we're going to close it out. Tomorrow, hopefully, Brother Ross and Brother Jenna will be able to host Tando Radio. If for some reason they're not able to, I'll be back on air tomorrow at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern with another episode of Tando Radio Show. Peace and blessings to all. Y'all stay safe behind these enemy lines.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.